call to Optima starts the process to stop the demand letters and stop aggressive collection actions. They get to work immediately, fighting to protect your assets and helping you put your tax problems behind you. The IRS writes off millions every year, and Optima knows all the ins and outs of the IRS's tax assistance programs that could save you thousands. So what are you waiting for? Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-559-8226. 800-559-8226. 800-559-8226.
Where are we? We're right around the corner, 637 Durst Avenue East, one block off the 72 bypass, announcing our new operation, The Antique Vintager Emporium. Buying? Of course we're buying. Just ring us and make an appointment, 864-229-6613. Look for our new website for buying, podcasts, and more, The Antique Vintager Emporium. So, exactly where are we? We're just around the corner, 637 East Durst Avenue, 864-229-6613.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Join me weekdays for This Morning, America's First News. Hear the stories you'll be talking about and searching for all day as we go beyond the headlines and above the chatter with your first look at breaking news, money, Washington politics, technology, entertainment, entrepreneurship, and sports. We explain why stories matter. That's why we are referred to as the most important and relevant radio program. Join us weekdays for This Morning, America's First News.
As Kitty Wells once sang,
all records bring back memories.
That's what we do on From Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. Classic Country Memories, 9 to 12 Saturday morning on 1450 AM and on the internet at WCRS1450AM.net.
But all records bring back memories.
This is George McKinney with Greenwood County Emergency Management. Are you receiving notifications of severe weather and other emergencies? If not, you need Code Red. This free emergency notification system will inform you by phone, email, or text of severe weather or emergencies. Citizens can find the sign-up link on the community page at greenwoodsc.gov or leave a message at 942-8553. That is greenwoodsc.gov or 942-8553.
The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, the one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment, 864-229-6613. The antique vintager, Jeff Eller, is in the building.
And now, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, it's time for the I Love Ann Show.
Oh, that's right. I'm tap dancing as fast as I can, and I've got one of the big guys on the air with me this morning. That's right. I've got the one, the only, the Jim Bohannon. He just had a birthday, and he's still sounding fine on the radio. Who could it be? The one and only Jim Bohannon. How you doing this morning, Jim?
I'm great, Ann. Indeed, I am the Jim Bohannon of the United States, J-Bonus, as they call me. So there you go.
Well, you're the gift that keeps on giving, Jim. I tell you what, every night right here on WCRS and around the world, you're heard.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm very honored about that. But I love being heard on WCRS at 1450 for you, 1449.95, and it's great fun.
Yeah, it is. So it's interesting, all the things going on in the world. You know, when I was trying to figure out a topic for us to talk about, I was just like, wow, there's so many. But then I thought about, You know, it seems like every politician, before they actually get into political life or when they want to go to the next level, they have to write a book.
And many times they do.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's always been interesting to me. I was talking to Jeff about this last night. How do they all get to be, so many of them anyways, get to be bestsellers? And it was explained to me that the party, if they're really behind a book, they buy it and give it away. And then I was thinking, well, you know how many political conventions I've been to? Quite a few. And every time I come back, I'm loaded down with books. So I'm thinking when I write a book, I've got to find a political party or somebody to get behind it and give it away so it can be a top seller.
Or you might have Sylvester Stallone become your boyfriend, if Jeff doesn't mind. When Vanna White wrote her book some years ago, and it wasn't selling very well, and so Stallone, who at the time was dating her, in fact, she and Stallone sat behind me at a correspondence dinner one year, Stallone sent people out to every bookstore in Los Angeles and to buy, you know, like a couple of dozen of Vanna's books.
So, and that's how she did it. So, I mean, but it's the same type of principle. So, you know, one really wonders when people are on the bestseller list, how do they really get there? Is it real or is it kind of put together a different way?
Well, certainly you can help with this sort of thing, but in point of fact, there are so many books out there that what Stallone did, what a political party might do, you can't buy a few hundred books and make a dent on the bestseller list. If you want to make a dent on the bestseller list, you'd better buy 5,000 or 6,000 at a minimum, and that pretty much eliminates most people.
Well, but it is a way, and didn't Hillary's book do real well because it was bought by the party when she was running for office?
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me in the least if that certainly helped. And obviously Hillary, since she virtually ran the Democratic Party at the time, she was in an open primary, quote-unquote, with Bernie Sanders. That wouldn't surprise me. But let's face it, if you have the kind of name recognition that Hillary Clinton has and a hardcore base that just loves every word she utters, you're going to have a bestseller probably in all likelihood.
Well, maybe I could have a bestseller right here in Greenwood then.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're well known. I mean, goodness knows, certainly, as much as anybody in Greenwood, absolutely you could have a bestseller.
There you go. Well, I just, now, are you getting ready to write your book? Because I understand that every talk show host, I've been seeing this all over Talkers Magazine, must write a book.
Well, I've already written one some years ago.
I know, but that was some years ago. I thought maybe you'd get ready to do a new one.
No, I have no books in the planning stages right now.
But you've interviewed so many interesting people, Jim.
I have. It's a lot of work. Certainly, unless you employ a ghostwriter, and I wouldn't have any desire to do that. I suppose I could think about it, but it's just not at the top of my agenda, honestly, Anne. I'll put it on hold.
Put it on hold?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I just was thinking with all the people, I mean, you just, you keep racking them up, Jim, and getting them in there, and a lot of interesting conversations are had, so it would be a very interesting book.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Anne. Maybe you've encouraged me to reconsider that.
Yeah, and, you know, Annabelle might could help you write it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure she could.
Yeah, there you go. All right, just something to think about while you're here in South Carolina, you know, just kind of hanging out, having a good time. But
absolutely.
What do you think about the way this onion is being peeled, shall we say, on the fusion project and all the dossiers and all of this? They keep on uncovering more. Last night on Hannity, they were talking about how Jim Jordan and the guy in North Carolina who's head of the investigation that they've been doing on it, that it should be given
Trey
to...
Gowdy.
No, Trey, no, not Trey. It's the guy from North Carolina.
North Carolina.
They were talking about all this information needs to be given to every member of Congress and then to the American people. I mean, sounds like there was a lot more to this than when they started down this road that they're finding. And how could this be kept from everybody?
Well, first of all, there has yet to be any evidence on the central thesis of this whole big investigation. There are three parts to this. First, did the Russians try to influence our election? There's every evidence that they did make such an effort. Second, did the Russians actually influence the outcome? There is zero evidence that they did that in an election filled with so many charges and countercharges. Whatever might have been released to WikiLeaks was a bug spot on the windshield of that election. So third, you get down to the crux of the issue, proof that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. And after a year and a half, we have zero, nada, zilch, nothing. It's time for this either to produce some kind of evidence or go away.
Well, I mean, you know, I agree. And just look at how much money and time that we're spending on this. It's just, it's unbelievable. But I think they are finally getting to the bottom of this. What did I hear last night? That Comey might have authorized payments to pay for this report?
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. The dossier story that Sean Hannity was talking about. Yeah, I mean, there's no question about the fact that this was something which was used as the basis for getting a FISA, one of those secret court warrants, to look into the Trump campaign, which no one, by the way, seems to ask the basic question, why were you spying on a political campaign in the first place? That has not been satisfactorily answered either. If there was a genuine bipartisan probe by Robert Mueller that included the Fusion GPS, the uranium sale connection, the speeches that Bill Clinton made for $500,000 each, while the Russians were arranging for donations to the Clinton Foundation. If you looked into both aspects of this, I have no doubt where the evidence would come up. The Clinton Foundation, as a money laundering operation, by sheer volume of money alone, is the biggest scandal in American history. It dwarfs the Teapot Dome scandal of a century ago.
And yet, nothing happens.
Well, at least they're proceeding. I'll put it this way. Not much is happening, and it's happening very slowly, but it certainly is high time for this investigation to either put up or shut up, yes.
Absolutely. So I was curious, you know, you've been kind of watching President Trump. How do you think he's doing there, Jim?
I think he's learning on the job, and he's doing a better job than he was. He still has problems when he blurts and talks before thinking. He is often his own worst enemy. That Twitter account ought to be placed in a blind trust at least between the hours of 3 and 6 in the morning. He shouldn't be allowed to tweet until he's had time for some adult supervision and people can look over, hey, guys, here are half a dozen tweets I thought of last night, and the staff goes over them and they say, well, okay, we can do those two, and these need to be reworded, and the other two over here we need to drop entirely. He simply thinks he's still running a reality TV show. His job is not to entertain his base. His job is to govern. And on that aspect, he's not doing well at all, the part about shutting up and just proceeding. And he can be so easily distracted. My goodness. Anybody says anything, and it's like waving a shiny object at somebody. There goes the president. He can be so easily manipulated by people who just simply want him to go off on a tangent somewhere. Nobody cares what they say at the Golden Globe Awards or any of the rest of this trivia. Just govern and ignore these people.
I don't think he'll ever do that, Jim.
Well, I don't either, but I'm saying that to the extent that he doesn't, that's not going to help his presidency at all. I think he's learned more about what are the powers of the presidency, what you can do and what you cannot do. I hope, for example, he has learned that although he doesn't like this book, Fire and Fury, that the President of the United States cannot block publication of a book because you don't like it. I hope he's learned that. I would like to hope that he has gotten around to reading the U.S. Constitution through from start to finish. It takes about 20 minutes if you're an average reader. So there are a few things like that, but certainly he did a massively good job of getting rid of a lot of federal regulations and the wave of executive orders he issued. They all appear to be not only constitutional, but in many cases they undid unconstitutional executive orders by his predecessor, President Obama. He's done a lot of good. Couldn't quite get Obamacare repeal, health care reform passed, but he did manage to get the tax cut, and that's at least a beginning as we enter this campaign year of 2018.
And where do you think we're headed with Korea? Didn't you have somebody on the show last night talking about North Korea and the Olympics and everything?
Yes. Well, yes, we did, as a matter of fact. I don't think we're going to see much happen. For one thing, the fact that the North Koreans are involved in the Olympics in South Korea means that you're going to see a truly peaceful Olympics. The North Koreans will be very nice for a couple of weeks in February. And the minute that's over, they're going to launch a missile into the middle of the Pacific and we'll be right back where we were before. So this, remember, this is like a spoiled child. And spoiled children learn that if they throw a tantrum, their parents will do what they want and give them what they want. And if you've got parents who are that bad, that weak, that stupid, well, spoiled kids aren't stupid, they learn. This happens to be a spoiled child with long-range missiles and nuclear weapons. And the world should stop catering to its every whim and saying, oh, is baby upset? How many billion dollars would you like? What concessions here or there would you like? The world needs to hold North Korea accountable. And if they actually start something, well, that's the end of North Korea, the literal, actual end of North Korea, which would not be a bad thing at all.
Well, that's true. That is very true. So, I also was looking at an article here this morning, Jim. It says that it says that there has been a UFO program, and here we have Mulder and coming back in with the X-Files. I know you like science fiction. What do you think? They say since 2007, the government has had something going here with looking at X-Files type thing.
I'll be honest with you. I totally missed that. Other than Harry Reid, the former Democratic leader from Nevada, who's always been an Area 51 type freak, I must confess I was totally unaware that there was anything credible to be added to the story of UFOs. So I'm sorry I missed that one.
Oh, okay. I thought it says, as reported by, your favorite newspaper, the New York Times, the AATIP, which is the, what is this? The, where does it say what it is? Okay. It's since 2007 to 2012. The Defense Department denied its existence and now states that the program has been shut down completely, but they actually did have an Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program from 2007 to 2012.
Well, there you go. I know that I've looked into some of these stories of UFOs. There have been a number of cases, without question, in which you have very credible witnesses, not the usual type of beer-swigging Yahoo, who always seems to be the ones who first see these space aliens, but credible witnesses, military personnel, pilots, and the like, who have seen objects which have been also not only seen optically but on radar, which have done things that nothing in our technology here could have done, and there's never been any explanation for them. That's happened. Not a lot, but it's happened, and I'm glad they've looked into it. But again, why would anybody want to travel through the vast reaches of the universe? And certainly there's no life around us. So, this would be across interstellar distances. Come all this way and then sneak around and only talk again to a few beer-swilling yahoos? Really? Why would you come all this way without landing on the lawn of the White House and saying, hey, we're in the neighborhood, let's talk?
However talk may be assimilated... Yeah, there you go. Well, I just thought I'd put that out there because, this is an article that I thought found very interesting. And since I know you kind of like sci-fi stuff.
Oh, very much so. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, any other topics that you find totally interesting that we should discuss this morning?
Well, I've been talking about a variety of things on my night show. I've been talking about the concept of meteorological macho, and that is to say the weather wimps and the people who get all upset if you get half an inch of snow and drifts up to 3/4 of an inch and you shut down civilization, as some of our friends in the low country, I guess, were prone to do after the recent massive blizzard of 2017. It's so funny, growing up in Missouri, which is hardly the epicenter of the ice age in this country, but we had good winters, and I used to live in Chicago, I have people I know who live in Wisconsin, and they laugh and laugh and laugh. I have noted on the air that if the people in Wisconsin had the same standards for closing schools that exist in, say, the southern U.S., the people of Wisconsin would all be illiterate because the schools would be closed for 3 or 4 months out of the year.
You'd only go to school in the summer.
Yeah, exactly, when we close things down so that all the students can go help bring in the harvest. Shades of the 19th century. Yeah, we need to change that a great deal. But there are a lot of snow virgins out there. And these are people who have never actually seen hard water falling out of the sky. Washington, D.C. is really huge on snow virgins. You got people from Florida, congressional delegations. You got people in the embassy from Nigeria. And it's really something. And they seem to space themselves out on the roadways in Washington. I call them the Anti-Destination League. I'm sure they've got an organization. And as a result of that, you just have total gridlock. And then, of course, by the time they get acclimated to snow, you have an election in Florida or a coup in Nigeria, and the next wave of snow virgins shows up.
Well, that is true. And I guess now that you are, you know, in South Carolina, have you seen when there is a call for snow, how everyone goes and gets milk and bread out of the grocery stores, and there is absolutely none available if you're not there first?
Exactly. Milk and bread. I've seen the time that the only thing that was in there was half and half and hot dog bun. And I've often wondered, you know, what's the appropriate procedure here? Are you supposed to hold sort of like fondue parties, but instead of fondue, you have vats of milk and you dip bread in them? How is this supposed to work? I've never fully understood, because we all know that a good snowstorm in South Carolina could keep you from leaving your house for up to 24 hours at a time.
Yes, there you go.
And we could all starve to death.
And particularly since we have our power that usually goes out when we have snow, how do you keep that milk, you know, from going bad?
Well, I guess you just have to drink it.
Yes, you have to drink it or sop it up with the bread. But yes,
or take a bath in it.
Yeah, I have always been amazed by that. Being from Maine myself, when I first came down to the South, I was just like, wow, what's happening here?
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's been a phenomenon I've observed for years, and always laugh when I got to get to the grocery store. What for?
Yeah.
Milk and bread. Well, anyways, those are some of the fun things. The weather, though, certainly has been a topic. One of the topics that I found very interesting, this was in Boston, Massachusetts. Don't know if you saw this story or not. But the schools had no heat in Boston proper, I guess we could say. And the superintendent or the person who was in charge of making the decision for the kids to go to school or not did not want to cancel school. They had no heat in the buildings, did not want to cancel school because the children that are on the free meal program would not get to eat.
Yeah, let's let them be well-fed and frostbitten. Great, great idea. Yeah, that's what I call a step toward improved health, absolutely. Yeah, there were problems with unheated schools in Baltimore and other places. I mean, you know, if there was a problem of unheated schools in, say, Charleston, I would say, well, okay, I understand there might be a problem there. But let's face it, pretty much every winter it gets cold in Baltimore and Boston.
Yes.
It's sort of something when it gets to be September, October, you check the furnaces. I mean, how simple is that?
Exactly. My point exactly. And I can't believe that this person, and if you were so concerned about the children not eating, then why not organize a bus thing to take food to the children rather than put all the children coming into a school that is frozen?
Exactly. Okay. Huddle around, children. Now, everybody pass out the milk and the bread. Okay. And by the way, regarding milk and bread, I don't know why it is that a dairy or a bakery doesn't sponsor the weather on TV.
Yes.
Snow's coming. Be sure to buy our bread.
Well, we just had somebody that sent us a message here. She's a good friend of ours on the radio. Colleen says she loves the snow virgin. She's from Iowa.
Yeah, see? Yes. She knows.
Yeah, she knows what you're talking about. That's true. Well, anyways, those are some of the good topics out there. And I just want to tell you, I was going back through my notes and I was looking for a picture to post on Facebook this last night late, saying that you were coming on. And I came across a picture of me in your studio in Washington, D.C., back, that was January 6, 2011. So I posted it, and that was my first national radio exposure.
Well, outstanding. And you should expose yourself more.
Now be careful, Jim. Well, listen, say hello to Annabelle. It sure is good to talk to you. I want to talk to you a little later. I got a project or two I might interest you in. So you take care, and I'll be talking to you real soon. Thanks so much for calling me this morning, Jim Bohannon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ann, and hi to everybody in Greenwood.
All right. Sounds great. Remember, you can tune him in right there, 10 to 1, every Monday through Friday, right here on WCRS. Bye-bye, Jim.
Bye-bye.